know you're gone. I know you're leaving me behind your dreams, behind your prayers. What do you think? What do you want? What do you love? What do you love? What do you love?
One Last Chance by OC Pixie. Read by PB Fate. Rating PG-13. Summary. Coda to Mystery Spot. The months for Sam were only hours for Dean, and now Sam must deal with how he feels about his past and Dean's future, or let it consume him. Love. 175 Tuesdays and one Wednesday. That's the time it took to strip Sam of everything he once was. He had been stripped down to the bone, and when he put himself back together, like a jigsaw puzzle, he could tell pieces were missing. Lost in blood, death, sorrow, and grief. Lost in the hundreds of times he had been forced to watch the life leave Dean's eyes. 175 Tuesdays and one Wednesday. In that time, Sam had lost his brother in more ways than anyone would have ever thought imaginable. And along the way, somewhere during the unstoppable deaths and nearly 4 months of revenge-filled haze, Sam had changed. Seeing a loved one die that many times should bring about feelings of sadness, anger, hatred, defeat, and desperation. But all Sam felt now was the cold numbness. He was drowning in a sea of what-ifs, and as the current grew stronger, as Dean's deadline drew closer, Sam realized he was going under. They were more than 100 miles from Broward County, and the only reason Sam knew this was from the mile markers he had been counting. Nothing had been said between him and his brother since Dean's breathy,
"Sam, get in the car,"
as he pulled Sam off of Kel. Sam was pretty sure he had broken the guy's nose, but didn't get a clear look at him before the bloodied man ran away, leaving behind the weapon that had taken Dean away from him once before. Sam stood there a few moments longer to make sure Kel was at a safe distance before he brushed himself off. He had almost headed towards the driver's side before forking quickly to the right and taking his place in the passenger seat beside his brother. The next mile marker passed, and Sam was still waiting on things to go wrong. A part of him knew it's over, and Dean was going to make it through the day, but nearly 4 months without him, and Sam found himself in disbelief that Dean's really there, that the trickster let them go, no strings attached. He was still expecting to wake up in his queen bed, not to the sounds of the clock radio Dean always set too loud, or to the sounds of Dean's light snoring, but alone in his single room. Awake at 7, almost like clockwork. The small table in the middle of his room would still be holding his empty plate and the plate with the untouched hamburger with extra onions. In those months, he could never stop himself from ordering Dean's favorite with whatever he got for the night. Sam leaned his head against the cool glass of the window as he licked his lips. There was a hollow feeling inside of him that he had been sure would go away once he got Dean back. Hours later, it was still there. It gnawed at him, and finally he realized why. Even if the trickster had turned back time, even if his body didn't show the scars of the months of non-stop hunting, he still remembered. He remembered it all like it was just yesterday, because for him it had been just yesterday. It had been hundreds of yesterdays, and an equal amount of tomorrows he had wished wouldn't come. For him, it had been months, but he could still remember the last time Dean died. He sat there, holding Dean's body, crying out and begging for the day to repeat, but it never did. And when tomorrow came, Sam knew what he had to do. He had to hunt down the bastard who was responsible and take down anything or anyone that got in his way. And that's exactly what he did. One by one, he had fought his way through shapeshifters, demons, spirits, and vampires, and no matter what he killed, the hole in him, the anger, the hunger for retribution, couldn't be filled. He had cut himself off from everyone who had offered to help or stop him. He literally warded off Ruby, could have cared less where Bella was, and stopped answering Bobby or Ellen's phone calls after he had informed them of Dean's death. He was alone in his fight, and he was going to make damn sure he found the trickster. His life became a never-ending cycle of waking up, eating just enough to keep him strong, researching, hunting whatever he could kill, researching more, and sleeping just enough to keep him going. He sewed up his own wounds, never once caring if infection would come. Hell, a part of him would have welcomed it, but the other part refused to give up, refused to leave Dean in hell. He became methodical to the point of obsession. He knew it wasn't healthy, but he didn't care, because if he didn't succeed, well, he never let himself believe he couldn't or wouldn't succeed. He would get Dean back, and he would make damn well sure he stayed alive. It was the extremes he went to in his attempt to get Dean back that frightened him. It wasn't until he had gone as far as to stake Bobby when he hadn't been 100% sure it was really the trickster. It was those few moments when the body hadn't immediately dissipated that shook Sam to his core, cracked his armor, and made him see the monster he was becoming. He had become a monster that was willing to kill an innocent human being to bring his brother back. The Impala hit a dip in the road, and Sam's head gave a smack as his forehead bumped off the glass, breaking his thoughts. But still he kept his eyes on the road as he watched the white dashes on the pavement flick by so fast that they blended together.
You know, Sammy, eventually you're going to have to talk. Talk about what happened, because I know you, and I know there's something you aren't telling me.
Dean said, his voice rough. Sam didn't say anything. He had nothing to say, or at least, nothing he wanted to say. The months alone never happened. He had to keep telling himself that. Had to keep telling himself that the things he did, the things he was willing to do to get Dean back, didn't actually happen. He wanted so bad to treat it all like a bad dream. One of those dreams that seemed so real, but you knew at any moment you'd wake up and everything would be okay. Only, he hadn't awoken from this dream. He hadn't even truly lived it yet. All those loops, all those days without Dean, were like a free sneak preview of what was to come.
Sammy, come on, talk to me. I know you're hiding something. That guy back there, Kel, you knew he was going to try and mug me. That can only mean one of two things. Either your freaky psychic visions are back, or that wasn't the first time you'd seen that go down.
Sam closed his eyes as he tried to get the image of Dean's last death out of his head. He could still remember the smell of burning wood and flesh when he had salted and burned Dean's body. He could still remember calling Bobby, and before he could say anything, Bobby figured it out. He could still remember the cold that crept into him and resided in his soul for those nearly 4 months afterwards. Once the cold had set in, he didn't remember feeling anything else. He just wanted so desperately to forget, and Dean's prodding was only making it harder to close the gaping wound made when he simply couldn't make himself wake up from the nightmare. Suddenly, the Impala wasn't moving anymore. Dean had pulled over.
Dean, don't,
he said, not really aware of it.
Don't what, Sam? Don't ask? Don't worry why you're not acting like yourself? Sam, when you woke up this morning, you looked like you'd seen a ghost.
Please, Sam asked, his voice cracking along with his defenses.
Sammy.
Dean, just don't, okay? You don't understand, you don't know what I'm going through.
I know exactly how you feel, because...
But Sam didn't let him finish. He opened his door and shot out of the car. He needed air. His anger and returning grief were suffocating him. Sam ran a hand over his face as he heard Dean get out of the car. He turned around, and the dam broke.
"You don't get it, Dean. You just don't get it. You saw me die one time and one time only. Try 175 times, Dean. Try having to relive it over and over and each time not being able to stop it. Every day, Dean, I tried to keep you safe, but every day I had to watch you die in some horrific way. Every day I'd wake up knowing you were going to die, praying I could stop it, but every godforsaken day I'd lose you again. A few of those days I actually got my hopes up."
Sam walked over to the Impala and sat down on the hood. His head dropped as he felt tears beginning to burn behind his closed lids. He felt the Impala dip lower as Dean sat down beside him, but didn't speak. He opened his eyes and looked at Dean. His brother's eyes were filled with worry, but his face remained emotionless. Sam's voice was thick with emotion as he started to talk.
"You know, there was this one time I actually thought I'd saved you, that it was going to end. We were literally minutes away from midnight. I had kept you safe the entire day. I let my guard down for one fucking minute, and you were gone. I had forgotten about the knife you kept under your pillow. But apparently the trickster hadn't."
Sam closed his eyes and hung his head again. The images of that death suddenly coming to the forefront of his memories made his stomach roll. He could still picture the knife sticking out of Dean's neck, his eyes wide with surprise. The blood stain on the pillow almost looked like a demonic halo behind his head. He hadn't woken up quickly enough from that one. Sam felt a tear roll down his face as he raised his head and locked eyes once more. He needed to get this off his chest. He couldn't tell Dean everything. He didn't want him to know the monster he had become. But he needed to tell him something.
"You remember when you asked me back at the motel if something else had happened and I told you that I'd just had a really weird dream? What I didn't tell you was that dream lasted 4 months. I knew Cal would mug you because I lived it, Dean. Only the first time around, I wasn't there to stop it. After so many times of watching you die, I finally got the loop to end, but I still couldn't save you. You died, and I didn't wake up. My desperate need to end the loop left me out of chances to save you, and the trickster made damn sure of it."
The tears he had hoped to stall finally broke through, and Sam stared ahead as he continued.
"I can still remember burning your body. I called Bobby, and I told him what happened, and that I was going after the trickster. Alone. Then I cut myself off. It wasn't like they didn't try to help, but it was my hunt and mine alone."
Sam pressed his lips together as he ran a shaking hand through his hair.
"I was gone 3 days, and I know that was hell on you, Dean, but it was only 3 days. I had to live 4 months knowing I couldn't save you, and being one step behind the bastard who could bring you back. 4 months is a very long time when you're alone, Dean. That was my life. Alone, with nothing but my anger and my grief to keep me company. So, Dean..."
Sam stopped and turned to face Dean again as the tears streamed down his face.
"How can you possibly say you know what I went through?"
Dean didn't answer. He simply put his hand on Sam's shoulder and squeezed.
"No matter what you think, no matter the time difference, I do know what it feels like. I know what it feels like to fight so hard to give everything in you to protect someone, only to watch one mistake rip them away from you. I know the hole that starts in your chest and slowly consumes you until you feel like you are nothing without them, and I know, Sammy, what it feels like to know that you can get them back, and that you have one last chance to make things right, no matter the cost to yourself. And I know that that hole doesn't go away when they come back. Not completely. But it will. With time."
Dean's hand went to the back of Sam's neck for the briefest of moments. skin on skin, and Sam closed his eyes again, soaking in the warmth from the momentary contact. He felt the anger and grief once more subsiding. One last chance. That was all he had now. One last chance to keep his brother alive. He had one last chance to make sure that what he had experienced didn't happen a second time. Sam wiped his eyes with the back of his sleeve.
The trickster was wrong about one thing, Dean. What's that, Sammy? He said we were each other's weaknesses, but at the end of the day, we're each other's strength. I am going to save you, Dean. This one last time, I will save you.
Dean patted Sam on the back. A smile danced across his lips.
I know you will, little brother.
Dean pushed himself off the hood of the Impala.
Come on, Sammy. Let's get out of here. I'm starved.
Sam watched Dean get back into the car before he pushed himself off the hood. He paused as he opened the door and nodded to himself. He would save Dean. No matter what, he would. They were family, and family stuck together, their bonds nearly unbreakable. Sam got into the car as Dean spoke.
So, Sammy, I'm thinking hamburgers with extra onions?
Dean turned on the radio before Sam could answer. Led Zeppelin's Kashmir came through the speakers as Dean started to bob his head to the beat. Sam smiled to himself. He had one last chance, and he sure as hell wasn't going to waste it. End.